السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا ان آیات کا یہ ترجمہ ہے کہ یقیناً اللہ اور اس کے فرشتے نبی پر رحمت بھیجتے ہیں، اے وہ لوگوں
Hazur says the translation of these verses of the Holy Quran is Allah and His angel send blessings on the Prophet. O ye who believe, you also should invoke blessings on him and salute him with the salutation of peace. Verily, those who malign Allah and His Messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter, and has prepared for them an amazing punishment. These days, there is an intense wave of indignation which has swept both through the Muslim world and amongst Muslims living in other countries. This is due to the extremely crude, offensive and obscene act of the anti-Islamic elements. Indeed, the Muslims are justified in their sentiments of sorrow and rage. Whether or not a Muslim has the proper insight of the real station and rank of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Every Muslim is nonetheless prepared to give his or her life for the respect and honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The opponents of Islam have made a most obscene and offensive film against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where they have portrayed him in the most obnoxious an insulting manner. In this light, the indignation and anger of every Muslim is something natural. He was the Muhsin-e Insaniyat, the benefactor of humanity, the Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy of all mankind, and the beloved of God, who would stay awake all night in anguish to save humanity, and who expressed so much agony to save humanity, would indulge himself in so much sorrow to save mankind, that the God of the heavens, addressing the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated the following: "So happily thou wilt grieve thyself to death for sorrow after them if they believe not in this discourse." This insult-filled film regarding the benefactor of mankind would most certainly cause the hearts of Muslims to bleed. Indeed, this is what has happened. Most of all, it was Ahmadi Muslims who were pained by this. For we are the followers of the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He imparted to us perception and insight with regards to the station of the Master Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus our hearts are torn at this gross act. We are extremely hurt and wounded. We are in prostration before God the Exalted, that may He extract revenge from these wrongdoers. May they become such a sign of a learning lesson that would remain until the end of the world. The Imam of this time has provided to us such perception of true affection and devotion to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has explained that we can reconcile with the serpents and the beasts of the jungle. However, we cannot ever reconcile with those who remain stubborn in the insult of the Master Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our master and guide, the seal of all the prophets. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, thus wrote: "Muslims are those people who give their lives for the honor of their noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Death is their preference to the dishonor in genuinely reconciling with such people and becoming their friends, whose task is to day and night verbally abuse their Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and cite his name extremely insultingly in their magazines, books and advertisements, and mention him in utterly degrading words. Remember," the promised Messiah says, "remember, such individuals are not the well-wishers of their own people, because they create impediments in their way. I say most truthfully that it is possible that we may reconcile with wild snakes and wilderness beasts, but we cannot reconcile with those people who do not desist from insulting the honor of God's holy prophets. They think that there is triumph in abusive language and vulgarity, but each triumph comes from the heavens. He says further, through the blessing of their pure discourse, those with pure speech ultimately win hearts and minds, whereas those of wicked nature have no other skill other than creating discord and conflict in the land in a disorderly way. Experience also bears witness that the ending of such offensive people is not good. The sense of honor of God ultimately comes to pass for His beloved ones." Nowadays, alongside magazines and advertisements, other means are also used for this vulgarity and obscenity. Thus, such persons who out of their stubbornness are contending with God will, inshallah, God willing, come under His chastisement. In their obstinacy, they continue in their transgression and wrongdoing. When in 2006, a group of wicked persons produced some vulgar caricatures of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I also at the time directed the Jamaat to respond in an appropriate manner, and I also inculcated to them that these unjust people existed previously, and they will not cease here. They will not stop because of the protests by the Muslims. In fact, in future, they will continue with such wrong acts. Indeed, we observe that the vulgarity and obscenities are worse than ever before. We notice that from then, this is getting worse and worse. Thus, this is a defeat by Islam, which is forcing them, in the name of freedom of consciousness, to displaying obnoxiousness. As the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated, that remember, these people are not the well-wishers of even their own countries. One day, this wrong approach of theirs will unfold clearly upon themselves. All the vulgarities and obscenities that they are displaying today will actually harm their nation. For these people are selfish and unjust. Aside from trying to fulfill their own selfish desires, they do not think about anything else. At present, in the name of freedom of conscience, politicians and also other segments of society are openly, or at times in discreet words, are speaking out in support of these people. And others speak out in support of the Muslims. However, it should be remembered that now the world is a global village, such that all of these wrong acts will destroy the peace and tranquility of their own countries if they do not openly call wickedness as wickedness. And God's wrath that was set into motion is something separate. Remember the statement of the Imam of this time, every victory is from the heavens, and the heavens has decreed that this Prophet who you are trying to insult, he will triumph over the entire world. As the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, the manner in which he will triumph is by winning the hearts, for pure words are effective. Pure words do not need the use of extremist measures, nor does it require vulgarity to be responded to by vulgarity. These obnoxious and profane ways that these people have initiated will, inshallah, God willing, come to an end. Subsequently, God will deal with these perpetrators in the hereafter. In the verses that I recited from the Holy Quran, God the Almighty draws the attention of the believers also towards their responsibilities, that it is your task to send durood and salam, peace and salutations upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The obscenities, slander or insult by these people does not affect the honor and respect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way, shape or form. He was such a great Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon whom God and his angels invoked blessings and salutations. It is the duty of mu'mins, that is believers, to constantly engage in durood, invoking blessings and salutations upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the enemy exceeds in vulgarity and obscenities, then invoke even greater salutations and blessings upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bless, O Allah, Muhammad and the people of Muhammad, as you blessed Abraham and the people of Abraham. You are indeed the praiseworthy, the glorious. Prosper, O Allah, Muhammad and the people of Muhammad, as you did prosper Abraham and the people of Abraham. You are indeed the praiseworthy, the glorious. Thus, this alone is the Darood, the invocation of salutations and blessings upon the Prophet. And this alone is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for whom triumph in the world has been destined. Thus, where on the one hand an Ahmadi Muslim expresses abhorrence and sorrow upon these vulgar acts, he or she should draw the attention of the wrongdoers themselves and also those in power and government towards desisting from these obnoxious ways. This is what an Ahmadi does and should do. From a worldly perspective, an Ahmadi tries to make a personal effort to inform the world of the true reality and to explain to them the actuality and to present the beautiful aspects of the best model of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. An Ahmadi tries to demonstrate the blessed example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his or her every act and present the true image of Islam to the world. As I stated, we should give greater attention towards Durood and Salam than before. Men, women, young, old and children should fill their surrounding atmosphere with Durood and Salam. They should form their actions into the practical model of Islamic teaching. Thus, this is the beautiful response that we must display in terms of the fate of the wrongdoers. Allah has explained in the second verse that was recited at the outset that those who malign Allah and His Messenger, or in the current time, those who slander Allah and His Messenger and tear the hearts of the believers, will be dealt with by Allah Himself. The curse of Allah hangs over such persons in this world. For this reason, they will continue drowning in their indecency. Allah has decreed an abasing punishment for such people after death. This is exactly what the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has explained, that such persons who utter derogatory and profane words do not meet a good end. Thus, these wrongdoers will reach their sorry fate. In this world, they will reach that through the curse of Allah the Almighty, and in the hereafter, it will be through the abasing punishment of Allah. Other Muslims also, in accordance with the commands and teachings of Allah the Exalted, should react by filling their country, their areas, their environment and their atmosphere and homes with durood, invoking salutations and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how they should react. It is worthless to react by burning or setting fire to property and possession in their own countries, or by killing or harming their own countrymen, or that they come out in protest and the police are compelled to fire upon their own people who may be killed. Through media and newspaper reports, it has come to light that often the sincere people of the West have expressed disgust and displeasure upon these crude acts. Non-Muslims, who by nature are sincere and decent, have been displeased by this revolting act. This is true both in the US and also here. However, the leadership, on the one hand, they state the following, that this is wrong, whilst on the other hand, in the name of freedom of expression and freedom of speech, they support this. These double standards cannot continue. The law regarding freedom of speech is not a divine scripture. Thus, I also said to the politicians in the US that man-made laws are prone to error and flaws. There can be mistakes in them. Some aspects while legislating can be overlooked because man does not have knowledge of the unseen, whereas God the Almighty is Alimul Ghaib, the knower of the unseen. Laws made by God do not have any flaws in them. Therefore, do not consider your man-made laws to be complete and perfect, such that there can be no alterations or amendments in them. There is a law for freedom of speech. However, we do not find in the law of any country, nor in the UN Charter, a law which states that no person will be allowed the freedom to hurt the religious sentiments of others. Or that people will not be allowed to insult or slander the holy personages of other religions. This is not written in law anywhere. And it is because of this that the peace of the world is destroyed. Due to this, the lava of hatred erupts. As a result of this, the gulf between countries and religions is continuously increasing. Thus, if there is freedom of speech in the law, then the law pertaining to individual freedom may indeed be established. However, do not make a law which permits playing with the sentiments of others. This is exactly why the UN is failing. They make this unsuccessful law and consider that we have achieved a huge accomplishment. However, look at God's law. God the Almighty states that do not even belittle the idol of other people, because through this, the peace of society is ruined. If you belittle other idols, then they may use profane and inappropriate words with regards to your God. This will then increase enmity and produce loathing in your heart, which would in turn lead to quarrels and fights. Subsequently, disorder would break out in the country. Therefore, this is the beautiful teaching imparted by the God of Islam, by the God of this world, and by the God of this universe. That God has given us this teaching, who alongside the perfect law or the perfect teaching has also sent his beloved one, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the reformation of the world and to establish love and affection. God the Exalted gave the title of Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy of all mankind, and thus sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a mercy for all peoples. Thus, the educated people of the world, the politicians and those in power should reflect that by not firmly suppressing our minority of vile personages, are you people also becoming a part of this disorder? The people of the world at large should also deliberate that by playing with the religious sentiments of others, by agreeing with these minority of slimy insects, are you also playing a part in destroying world peace? We, who are Ahmadi Muslims, do not leave any stone unturned to serve humanity. In the US, there was a need to give blood. Last year, we Ahmadis gave 12,000 bottles of blood. This year, similarly, we are carrying out this blood drive. I said to them that we, Ahmadi Muslims, for the sake of giving life, are giving our blood, whilst you, through your acts, by agreeing with these despicable people, are causing our hearts to bleed. Thus, this is the response of an Ahmadi, a true Muslim. And this is the response of a certain segment who believe they are establishing justice. Muslims are alleged to be doing wrong. It is correct, some of the Muslims react in a wrong way. Damage and destruction, setting things on fire, killing of the innocent, leaving diplomats unprotected, or killing or murdering diplomats, all of these things are completely wrong. However, derision and affront of the innocent prophets of Allah the Supreme is also a huge sin. In an attempt of imitation, recently a French magazine has also published an offensive cartoons which are worse than the previous ones. These worldly people think the world to be everything. However, they are unaware that this world will be the source of their destruction. Here, I would like to state that the Muslim governments are established over a large part of the world. Allah the Almighty has given natural resources to many a Muslim countries. Muslim countries are also a part of the United Nations. They read and believe in the Holy Quran, which provides the perfect code of conduct for every aspect of life. Why have the Muslim governments not made an effort to impart to the world the beautiful teachings of the Holy Quran at every level of society? Why do they not do this? Why do they not present to the world in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Quran that to play with the religious sentiments of others or to try to dishonor the prophets of God is a major crime and major sin? It is necessary for world peace that this is made a part of the United Nations Charter, that no member country will allow any of its citizens to play with the religious sentiments of others. In the name of freedom of speech, world peace will not be allowed to be destroyed. However, sadly, all of this is continuing to occur for such a long period of time. The Muslim countries have never made a combined, solid effort to inform the world about the honor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the other prophets. And they have never had this accepted and acknowledged at an international level. Although, like other charters of the United Nations, this will not be implemented. Which charter of the UN is being implemented at present, but at least something would go on record. There is the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Countries. This has been established. However, they have never made any concrete efforts to try and establish the honor and dignity of Muslims worldwide. Instead, the Muslim leaders are fully engaged in pursuing their personal and vested interests. If they are not mindful, then they are not mindful of the faith. If our Muslim leaders had made solid and concrete efforts, then the public at large would not react in an inappropriate way as is currently taking place in Pakistan and in other countries. For they would have known that our leaders who have been appointed for this task are going to strive to fulfill this right. That for upholding the honor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to uphold the honor of all the prophets, they would rise in the world forum in such a way that the world would have to accept that what they are saying is true and correct. Further, there are a large number of Muslims living in the West and in every part of the world. Muslims are the second greatest power of the world in terms of population and religion. If they were to abide by the commandments of Allah the Almighty, they could become the greatest and strongest force in every respect. If this was so, the anti-Islamic powers would never even dare to contemplate or to perpetrate such heart-rendering acts. In any case, apart from the Muslim countries, a large number of Muslims live in every country of the world. In Europe, just in Turkey alone, there are millions of Muslims residing. In fact, in every country of Europe, not just in Turkey, there are millions of Muslims living. Similarly, there are other Muslim ethnic groups who reside here. Muslims have come here from Asia, to the UK, to the US, to Canada, and to every part of Europe. If they all decided that they would vote for those politicians who expressed religious tolerance, and who not only verbally expressed religious tolerance, but also demonstrated it practically. Such politicians who would condemn such despicable people who made these crude films. Then, even from amongst these worldly governments, such people would rise up against this indecency. Thus, if Muslims understood their importance, they could bring about a revolution in the world, and they can facilitate laws regarding respecting religious sentiments within countries. However, it is unfortunate that they do not give attention towards this. That Jamaat, that community that does give attention towards this, that is the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, they are engaged in opposing it. And instead, they are strengthening the hand of the enemy. May Allah the Almighty grant sense and wisdom to Muslim leaders, politicians and religious scholars, that they may strengthen themselves, that they may come to recognize their importance, and that they may give attention towards their teachings. The moral state of those who raise obnoxious allegations against the Holy Prophet ﷺ, who made or who worked for this film, can be gauged just from the details of the media reports. It is said that the main part was played by a Coptic Christian by the name of Nokola Basili. It is said that he has a criminal background. He is a criminal. He had a stint in jail in 2010 for fraud. Secondly, the person who directed this film is actually a director for pornographic films. The actors of this film are all actors of pornographic films. Thus, this is a level of their morality, and the excesses of pornography are beyond one's imagination. This is how low they are in indecency, yet they purport to criticize that person for whose high morals and purity even God testified to. Thus, by perpetrating this obscenity, they have certainly invited the wrath of God, and they continue to do so. Similarly, the sponsors of this film cannot avoid God's wrath. This includes a Christian priest, who time and again for cheap publicity in the US has made efforts to burn the Holy Quran. Allahumma mazikun kullama mazikin wa sahikum tasiqa. Our Lord, shatter them in pieces, a complete breaking up, and reduce them to dust. Some sections of the media have tried to condemn this film. They have also condemned the reaction of the Muslims. It is correct, the wrong reaction should be condemned. However, it should also be noted who initiated this all. In any case, as I stated, it is the misfortune of Muslims. that all of this is happening due to Muslims not having any leadership nor any unity. Despite claiming to having ardent love and affection of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, they are distant from the faith. They may claim to be close to the faith, but they have no knowledge of religion. And they are also continuously weakening in a worldly sense. No Muslim country has strongly protested to any other country. If any protest has been made, it has been so weak that the media have taken no notice of it. If any news item has been given on the protest and objection of the Muslims, it was that 1.8 billion Muslims are reacting like children. When there is no one at the helm, when they are scattered and walking lost, then the reaction would be like a child. Thus, this was a sarcastic remark, but the reality was also brought to the fore. May God enable the Muslims to at least now have some embarrassment and shame. These people who are blind to religion, who do not know at all about the status of the prophets, who remain quiet even when the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him's rank, is degraded. They would consider, therefore, the passionate sentiments of the Muslims towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a childish reaction. In any case, as I stated earlier, in 2006 I also drew the attention towards this, that such a strong plan of action should be formed that in future no one even dared to insult in this manner. If only Muslims pay heed to this, every single Ahmadi should also make efforts to convey this message. By just protesting for a few days and then remaining silent, this problem will not be resolved. One suggestion that was floated, often people give various types of suggestions, that all the Muslim lawyers of the world should get together and form a petition. If only Muslim lawyers who have international standing deliberated upon this, that they should reflect upon the feasibility of whether this is possible, or they should find some other route. For how long will you continue observing such vulgarity and obscenities? For how long will you go on protesting in this manner, causing damage and destruction, and then falling silent thereafter? This will have no effect upon the people in this Western world, nor on those who made the film. If you attack innocent people in these Western countries, or if you threaten them, or strive to kill them, if you attack the embassies, then this is completely contrary to the teachings of Islam, which does not permit this in any way, shape or form. If you act in this way, you will be giving an opportunity for objections to be raised against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thus, extremism is not the answer. The answer is as I have given before. It is to reform one's practice, to invoke durood and salam, peace, blessings and salutations upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the means of salvation for mankind, and it is by the Muslims uniting as one, and it is by Muslims living in the West gaining strength by their vote. In any case, members of the Jamaat, wherever they may be, should work in this manner. They should also strive to have their non-Ahmadi friends tread on this path, that strength should be gained through the power of voting in these countries. Present the beautiful aspects of the blessed life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the world. Today the world clamors over freedom of speech. They say there is no freedom of expression or speech in Islam. They cite examples of the present-day Muslim countries. They allege that citizens of Muslim countries do not have freedom of speech. If this is so, it is a misfortune of those Muslim countries that they are not implementing the Islamic teachings. For that would have no link whatsoever with the teachings of Islam. We find in history examples of people addressing the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rudely and abruptly, without any etiquette whatsoever. Yet despite this, we find such incidents of forbearance and tolerance of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which have no match in the world. I shall present but a few examples. Although these are normally accounts mentioned with relation to the munificence and generosity of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however, these very accounts also demonstrate his fearlessness and boldness, as well as his forbearance. Hadrat Jubair bin Mutin has related this narration. He said that once he was with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were some other people with him. He was returning from Hunain. The Bedouin people wrapped around him. They made demands of him, so much so that they compelled him to move towards a thorny tree, and his cloak was stuck in its thorns. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped and said, "Return my cloak. If I had as many camels as the wild trees, I would have given them to you, and thus you would not have found me niggardly or false or a coward." Then there is another tradition of Hazrat Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. He says, "Once I was in the company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was wearing a cloak with thick edges. A Bedouin pulled his cloak so hard that the edges left a mark on his neck. He then said, 'O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from amongst the wealth that Allah the Almighty has given you, load some of it upon these two camels of mine, because neither will you give out of your wealth nor from the wealth of your father.' Initially, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept quiet. He then stated, 'Al-malu malullahi wa ana abduh,' that wealth is God's and I am God's servant. Then the Prophet said, 'Revenge will be extracted from the pain you have caused me.' That Bedouin said, 'No.' The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 'Why will retribution not be extracted?' The Bedouin replied, 'Because you do not respond to badness with badness.' Upon this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed. He then instructed that upon one of the Bedouin's camels load barley and on the other dates. So therefore, this is that high station of tolerance and patience of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not display this only with his own people, but even with his enemies. These are those high moral standards. It encompasses munificence, compassion, and also patience and forbearance. There is also an expression of high tolerance. These ignorant detractors, without thinking or considering, rise up and make allegations upon that Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy of all mankind. They say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was severe and harsh without consideration. Objections have also been raised against the Holy Quran in this film. I have not seen the film, but I've heard it from people. It has been alleged that the Quran was written by the cousin of Hadrat Khadija, Waraqa bin Nawfal, who Hadrat Khadija took the Prophet to after his first revelation. The kuffar, that is the disbelievers, would raise the allegation during the life of their Prophet that, "Why is the Quran being revealed to you part by part? Why is it not revealed at once?" These pitiful people are completely without knowledge and are devoid of true historical facts. The Christians, who believe themselves to be knowledgeable in this regard, are actually completely ignorant in this perspective. Waraqa bin Nawfal actually said that, "I wish I am alive when your people will turn you out of your nation." A short while after this, he passed away. As I stated, these Christian priests are completely uninformed of true history. The Orientalists have always engaged in the debate regarding the location of where surahs were revealed, whether in Medina or in Mecca. This they also debate on. Yet at the same time, they say Waraqa wrote the Holy Quran. There is the Holy Quran's challenge itself. that if they believe it has been written by someone else, then produce a chapter like it. Then there is a question of taking care of other sentiments. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was peerless in this regard also. Despite the fact that the Prophet is greater than all other Prophets, yet in regard of the sentiments of a Jew, he said, "Do not give me superiority over Moses." There is a regard of the sentiments of the poor and respect for their status. For example, once a companion of his who was very wealthy would express his superiority over others. The Holy Prophet ﷺ heard this and stated, "Do you believe your strength, your power, your wealth and your possessions were all acquired through your own efforts? Absolutely not. Your national strength as well as the power of your wealth is all acquired due to the poor. Today the claimants of freedom establish the rights of the poor. To safeguard their rights they make efforts." The Holy Prophet ﷺ, 1400 years before today, established these rights and said that a laborer should be paid his wages before his perspiration dries off. So therefore, where can they possibly contend with this benefactor of mankind? There are countless accounts. You can take any aspect. In every respect, you will find the highest moral example established by the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Another allegation that is raised is, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was lustful after women. They raise objection against his marriages. But Allah the Almighty knew that such allegations and questions would be raised in the future. Thus, He facilitated such incidents which provided the rebuttal of these allegations. It is said regarding Asma bint Noman that she was amongst the most beautiful women of the Arabs. When she came to Medina and the women saw her, all praised her beauty, that we have never seen such a beautiful woman in our lives. On the wish of her father, the nikah was solemnized with her for a hakmir of 500 dirhams. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ went to her, she said, "I seek God's refuge from you." The Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, "You have sought the refuge of a great sanctuary," and then left. He then said to one of his companions that take her back to her family. It has been recorded in history that her family were very happy at this marriage, that our daughter was being married with the Holy Prophet ﷺ. However, when she returned, they became extremely upset. So therefore, this was that great person about whom dreadful allegations are made with reference to women, who married his wives because it was God's commandment. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has in fact explained that if the Holy Prophet ﷺ had not wives, had not children, had not faced the trials and tribulations which he expressed and then went through, and also treated his wives most kindly, then how else would we learn about his exemplary model in this regard? Every act of the Prophet was for the sake of the pleasure of God. There is an allegation regarding Hazrat Aisha that she was especially treated fondly. Erroneous things are also said regarding her age. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at certain nights, that I want to worship to my God all night, who is the most beloved to me. So therefore, those people who have vulgar and perverted minds will raise these allegations. They have raised this in the past, and they may perhaps continue this in the future. As I have stated before, Allah the Almighty has already decreed that He will fill hell with such people. So thus such people and those who support them should be fearful of the chastisement of God. As the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated, Allah the Almighty has great honor for His beloved ones. In this age He has sent His Messiah and Mahdi. And He has drawn the attention of the world towards reformation, that if they do not desist from wrongdoing and insults, then the wrath of God is also severe. These days, natural disasters are prevalent. There is destruction everywhere. Storms and hurricanes are occurring in the US at a greater frequency than before. The economic crisis is boiling over. Various inhabitants in the world are at a threat of being submerged due to global warming. Thus, the world is engulfed in these perils and dangers. Thus, all of these excesses should draw the attention of these people towards God, rather than they giving their attention towards these obscenities. However, unfortunately, the opposite is occurring. They are trying to transgress beyond all limits. The Imam of this time has already warned everyone openly. He has said clearly that if the world does not take heed and listen, then every step they take will lead them towards destruction. The message of the promised Messiah alayhi salam is a message that is something that should be repeated again and again. This is oft repeated and presented, and I will present it here again today. He says, remember that God has informed me about the coming of earthquakes. So remember surely that in accordance with the prophecy, earthquakes came in America and also in Europe. They will also occur in different parts of Asia. Some of them will be as terrifying as doomsday. There will be death on such a large scale that rivers will run with blood. Even birds and animals will not escape it. Such destruction will overtake the earth, as has not happened since man was born. Most places will be turned upside down as if they had never been inhabited. There will also be other terrible afflictions, both in the heaven and in the earth, and every sensible person will realize that they are no ordinary phenomena and no trace of them will be found in books of astronomy or philosophy. Then people will be seized by anxiety and will wonder, what is going to happen? Many will be saved and many will perish. Those days are near. Indeed, they are at the doorstep that the world shall witness a spectacle of doomsday. Not only will there be earthquakes, but other terrible calamities will also appear, some from the heaven and some from the earth. This will happen because men have given up the worship of their God, and all their thoughts and their designs and all their resolves are diverted towards this world. Had I not come, these calamities might have been delayed for a while. But with my coming, the secret designs of God's wrath that had been long been hidden have been manifested. As God Almighty said, we never punish until we have sent a messenger. Those who repent shall find security, and those who fear before the calamity overtakes them will be shown mercy. Do you think that you will be safe from the earthquakes, or that you can save yourselves by your own designs? No, you cannot. All human designs will come naught that day. Do not imagine that only America has been shaken by the earthquake and that you are safe, for you may experience even greater calamities. O Europe, you are not secure, O Asia, you are not secure, O you who dwell in the islands. No artificial god will come to your aid. I see the cities falling, and I see the habitations in ruin. The one and the unique has long remained silent. Abominations were committed before his eyes, and yet he remained silent. But now he shall reveal his countenance in a dreadful manner. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The hour is not far. I tried to bring everyone under the security of God, but the decrees of destiny had to be fulfilled. Assuredly, I say that this country's turn is also drawing near. The days of Noah shall appear before your eyes, and you will see with your own eyes what happened to the land of Lot. But God is slow to wrath. Repent so that you are shown mercy. He who abandons God is a worm, not a man, and he who does not fear him is dead, not alive. May Allah the Almighty give wisdom to the world and enable them to desist from the wrong and unjust ways, and enable us to fulfill our responsibilities. There are also two funeral prayers that I will lead after the Friday prayers. The first is a martyr, Naveed Ahmed Sahib, the son of Sanaullah Sahib, who was martyred on 14 September 2012. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. His grandfather first took the Pledge of Allegiance at the hand of the second Khalifa. Before birth he was in Amritsar, but after birth he spent most of his time in Qadian. After the partition, his family migrated to Sindh. In 1985, they shifted to Qadian. The father of Naveed Ahmed Sahib, in 1984, had the honor of being a prisoner in the way of Allah. The account of the martyrdom was as follows. On Friday, 14 September, Naveed Ahmed, son of Sanawala Sahib, who was 22 years old, was sitting outside his home with two non-Ahmadi Pathan friends. When two unknown assailants on a motorcycle came, fired upon all three of the youngsters with Kalashnikovs and with a repeater. Two bullets came out of the Kalashnikov and hit the stomach of Naveed Sahib, and they also hit the other youngsters. All three were immediately taken to the hospital injured. Due to the deep wounds, Naveed Sahib was martyred en route to the hospital. Surely to Allah belong, to him we shall return. He was a very simple person of gentle temperament. He was a very compassionate person and a regular worshipper. And he was of a high moral standing. He was very keen on education, but due to poverty he could not study and would instead work with his father. It was during that work he privately passed his matriculation examination. During this Ramadan, he presented himself for duties of Khuddam al-Ahmadiyya. He would often offer himself for duties. He would excellently carry out his duties. His work colleagues would greatly be impacted by his high moral standard and trustworthiness. Many of his office colleagues also partook in his funeral prayers. Further, the owner of the office where he worked and his family came to his home for condolences. Both his parents are alive and he also has two brothers and two sisters. The second funeral is of Mukarram Muhammad Ahmed Siddiqui Sahib, son of Riaz Ahmed Siddiqui. He was also a martyr, who was martyred on the next day, 15 September, in Karachi. Nowadays, the target killings, the martyrdoms, are intensified in Karachi. Pray greatly for the Ahmadis of Karachi that they are kept in Allah's safety and security. Nowadays, most of the martyrdoms, most of the target killings are occurring in Karachi. And some of the excesses and persecution carried out by government departments are in Punjab. In any case, may Allah the Almighty safeguard Ahmadis everywhere. Muhammad Ahmed Siddiqui Sahib's family were from Karachi. Ahmadiyya entered into his family through his brother Imran Siddiqui Sahib. In 2001, in the US, he took the Pledge of Allegiance and entered the Jamaat. After this, through the preaching efforts of Imran Siddiqui Sahib, two of his other brothers also took the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance. That is, Umair Siddiqui and Rizwan Siddiqui. After this, along with his parents, the entire family took the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance, and entered the Jamaat. The account of the martyrdom was as follows. On 15 September, on Saturday night, at approximately 12 o'clock, Muhammad Siddiqui Sahib was with his brother-in-law, Shams Fakhri Sahib, at Salam Superstore, their departmental store. They left on a motorcycle. They had only just gone forward when they were severely fired upon. Two bullets hit Muhammad Ahmed Siddiqui Sahib. One hit his heart and the other bullet hit another part of his body and he was martyred instantaneously. Surely to Allah we belong and to him we shall return. His brother-in-law Shams Fakhri Sahib was hit by five bullets in five different parts of his body. One hit one of his shoulders, the other hit his stomach, whilst the others all hit his leg. He is presently admitted in the Aga Khan Hospital. Please also pray for his good recovery, that Allah the Almighty gives him a complete recovery, inshallah. The martyr was 23 years old at the time of his martyrdom, and his nikah was solemnized just 1 week previously. He had passed his MBA examinations 1 year previously. He was a very innocent, decent, obedient, devout and worship-going person. It is said he was a 23-year-old, young, very handsome boy. In fact, not only was his countenance handsome, but his life was also beautiful. He always would write some prayers and keep them with him, and he would recite these regularly. One of his brothers says that he was the most talented or able amongst us. On 7 September 2012, he texted some of his friends by SMS on the mobile phone. He said the circumstances in Karachi are extremely dire. If I am martyred, pray for me. After this difficult ordeal, a non-Ahmadi relative of the mother of the martyred came and said, mockingly, that you have now seen the end. Upon this, the mother of the martyred stated, we have accepted the Messiah based on the commandment of our beloved Prophet ﷺ. We are not afraid of anyone. I am prepared to give the life of all my 9 sons for the sake of the Jamaat. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, all brothers and sisters are bearing well. The father of the martyred had died previously. He leaves behind an elderly mother and, apart from her, 8 brothers and 2 sisters. He was the youngest amongst the siblings. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the martyrs, grant them forgiveness, and grant patience, solace, and endurance to all those left behind. And may Allah the Almighty protect and safeguard all Ahmadis of Pakistan. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.